The title is Show Me Your Glory. I was listening to a sermon by Pastor Tony Evans, and this was partly inspired by that sermon by Pastor Tony Evans. The passage is from Exodus chapter 33, verse 17 to 18. Exodus chapter 33, verse 17 to 18. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have asked, because I am pleased with you and know you by name. Then Moses said, now, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And God's people said, amen. To understand this passage, we need to kind of go back to Exodus chapter 3 and 4 and get to really understand the context of Exodus 33. When we go back to Exodus chapter 3 and 4, God tells Moses, you know, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and I'm going to use you to bring my people out of slavery. And God says to Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. And Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he says, oh, nobody's going to listen to me. What if they don't like me? You know, I don't know how to speak. And he tells God, you know, you got the wrong person. You know, please send someone else. But there's a transformation that happens in Exodus 33. Okay, there's a transformation in Moses. And this time, God tells him, okay, it's time to go into the promised land. Okay? It's time to go into the promised land. And I'm going to go, but this time God says, you know, when God told him to go to Egypt, I'm going to be with you. But this time, going into the promised land, I will not go with you, God says to Moses. But I will send an angel before you that will drive out your enemy. And Moses has the opposite attitude that he had in Exodus 3. You know what he says? If you're not going to go with us, we don't want to go. I'm not going to go. If you don't go with us, do not send us up from here. In Exodus chapter 3, God says, it's time to go to Egypt, and I will be with you. And he says, I don't want to go. Okay, I don't want to go. You got the wrong person. Send someone else. And then we see in Exodus 33, God says, it's time to go into the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you. And he says, if you do not go with us, we will not go. Okay? We will not go. What change happened to Moses? Okay, and it gives us a clue in this passage. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And he asked God, now show me your glory. See, Moses didn't ask what he would have asked in chapter 3. He didn't ask, help me to overcome my enemy, God. Bless me and my family, God. Provide for me, God. But instead, Moses asked God, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. Moses, more than anything, hunger for the glory of God. That word, glory, it means weight. This weight, it means heavy. Okay? It means heavy. And in the description of God, when you read the scripture, again and again, it will say, God is clothed. He's clothed in splendor and majesty. Okay? In splendor and majesty. What it means is God is heavily clothed in glory. Okay? God is heavily clothed in glory. See, when we encounter the glory of God, there is a weight of God's splendor and majesty. You know, I was thinking about glory, and I was thinking about that word, weight, heaviness. You know, when you carry something heavy, right? What should it do to you? Right? It makes you stop. It affects you. Right? When you carry something weighty, when you carry something heavy, right? This is the word I got. It takes your breath away. Right? It takes your breath away. And the good word, not a good word for glory is awesome. Okay? Say to your neighbor, God is awesome. And so I looked up the dictionary. A synonym for awesome is awe-inspiring, amazing, but there was another word, another synonym for awesome was breathtaking. Okay? Breathtaking. When you encounter the glory of God, it takes your breath away. That's why, you know, those who just, you know, gets a glimpse of the glory of God, they just fall and, you know, prostrate it down. It's just so marvelous, so amazing, so awe-inspiring. It takes your breath away. In the Bible, over and over again, God, this is the description that the Bible gives God. God is glorious. God, you know, God is glory. Psalm 138 verse 5 and Psalm 72 verse 19. Psalm 138 verse 5 says, "And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." Psalm 72 verse 19. "Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory." Amen and an amen. You know, as a human being, we celebrate those who we think are awesome, right? We celebrate them. Great human leaders in the past or now, athletes, great athletes, scientists, influencers, we give them glory, okay? We give them glory. But when it comes to true glory, right, God is one of a kind. God is one of a kind. As a human being, you know, everyone had to arrive to a place where they are considered awesome, okay? It doesn't just happen. They have to arrive to that place where they are considered glorious, okay? Michael Jordan was not great in basketball, you know, the day he was born. You know, Jordan, you know, you're going to be a great basketball dad, you're going to be a great basketball catch, you know? He wasn't great in basketball the day he was born. He had to practice and push himself. He had to develop into where he stood out in basketball. He had to develop into an awesome basketball player. Right? As a human being, whatever human glory you have, eventually, I believe, it's going to fade. It will fade. A fast runner will slow down over time as he or she ages, right? A beauty queen, no matter how glorious you might think she is, over time, she will develop wrinkles. A smart person will not be as sharp mentally as they get older. As a human being, over time, physically, glory fades. And the truth, you know, we don't like to think about it. We all will slow down eventually. We all are getting older. We all have limited time on earth. We all will eventually die. As a human being, you know, no one is glorious in everything, okay? You can be glorious in basketball, but just be okay in baseball. You might be a good leader, but not be good with administration. You might be awesome in worship and leading worship, but not good in evangelism. No one is glorious in everything, but God is glorious in all things. Say to your neighbor, God is glorious in all things. And as a human being, others have to give glory to you to be glorious. You might be a great actor or actress, but if you don't, you know, somebody, you know, the group doesn't give you an Oscar, you never had an Oscar, you never had a Golden Globe, you won't be considered that great. Many debate who is the greatest basketball player of all time. Michael Jordan, I keep using Michael Jordan because I grew up in Chicago, okay? Michael Jordan or LeBron James, or LeBron James. It doesn't matter how much Michael Jordan thinks he's the greatest or how much LeBron James thinks he is the greatest. You see, others have to debate it. Other has to argue with it. And others have to agree upon it. Okay? They have to agree upon it. God's glory is unique because his glory is intrinsic. God's glory is self-defined, self-initiated, self-expressed. You don't have to give God glory for God to be glorious. You might not believe in God. You might be angry with God. You might not know God. It does not matter when it comes to God's glory. God is the only being not dependent on something outside of himself. God never started to be glorious. God always has been glorious. There never was a time or will be a time God has not been glorious. Right? People might be mad at God, but God's glory does not depend on people's opinion. The Bible says the truth will ultimately be revealed. There will come a time when the glory of God will be fully revealed. And doesn't matter if you're Christian or non-Christian, you're mad at God or, you know, you're disappointed in God. You know what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I was thinking about Moses in Exodus chapter 3. You know, at that time, Exodus 33, he goes, oh, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. Oh, I know there's stressful. It's going into the promised land. I know there's a lot of enemy. There's giants there. But I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory, right? In Exodus 33. But Exodus chapter 3, that's not what he was thinking about. He wasn't focused on the glory of God. Instead, I believe his focus was on his past failures. He was focused on his past failures, past brokenness. You see, God tells, I'm going to send you into Egypt, and you're going to set my people free. And you know what he says? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelite out of Egypt? Moses' response wasn't, I want to see your glory. But his response was insecurity, fear, anxiety, lack of faith. And you know, he would just argue with God. Oh, God, you know, the Pharaoh will not accept me. Oh, you know, God's people will not accept me. I can't, oh, God, you know, I can't speak, you know. And he finally tells God, you got the wrong person. Send somebody else. You got the wrong person. Send somebody else. What happened to Moses in Egypt? That when God comes to him in a burning bush and calls him, he was so stressed, fearful, insecure, and faithless. You see, Moses failed miserably in Egypt, where he grew up. Moses was the prince of Egypt. He had status, he had position, he had achievement, he had the education, the best education. He had connection, he had resource, he had influence. And he, you know, Moses wanted to start a revolution. He, at that time, set God's people free. He tried to set God's people free from slavery, but he failed miserably. I believe he faced rejection from friends, rejection from his adopted family and Egyptian authority. He even got rejected from the very people that he was trying to help. There was these two Hebrew men fighting, and Moses went in to help them. And one of the men said, who made you ruler and judge over us? We reject you. You have no right to tell us anything. And Moses had to run away because I believe everyone rejected him. He was rejected. He was an outcast. He lost his position, all his riches, lost everything. And for 40 years, he had to dwell on all those lost, what he lost, the failure. He carried out the hurt, the pain, the failure, the brokenness as a shepherd in the wilderness. And then one day, you know, God comes to him in a burning bush. And that was the turning point of his life. That was the turning point of his life. You know, and this passage reminds me of Exodus 3 when God comes to him in the burning bush. What God's trying to do with Moses, God wants to do with us. Turn to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine. That's what God was. He comes to. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Right? This reminds me of Exodus 3 with Moses. God comes in a burning bush in his glory. And it was an opportunity for Moses to rise up and to shine. The light has come. Right? And you know, this is also a calling for you and me. Okay? We also had a burning bush experience because Jesus has come. Because of the work of Jesus, because Jesus is glorified, we can rise and shine. And not with human glory, but the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Speak that into your neighbor. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. You know, we got to remember, there's a passage in Isaiah 48, and what he said, God says is, I will not yield my glory to any idol. I will not yield any my glory to an idol. And in Exodus 3, before the burning bush experience, Moses made an idol of his past brokenness. You know, we always think of just golden calf. And No. What Moses did was he made an idol of his past brokenness. When you make an idol of past brokenness, you can't arise. You can't shine. God's glory doesn't fill and overflow in you. Because Moses made an idol of his past brokenness, Moses was, do you see next, you go to study Exodus 3, he was not teachable to God. He kept saying to God, I don't agree with you. I know, I heard, that's not true, you know. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not true. I don't agree with you. And, you know, God comes to Moses, reveals himself through a burning bush. God audibly speaks to Moses. God turned his staff into a snake as a sign that he is with him. God turns his hand leprous and immediately heals him instantly as a sign that God is a God of miracle. But Moses made an idol of his past brokenness. Moses didn't see the glory of God, but Moses only saw his past failure, rejection, abuse, and lost. See, Moses, you know, in that experience, he's going through a transition, though. But in that time, he stayed in his pain, made his home in pain. Pain became his identity. But praise God, after the burning bush encounter, there was a transformation that happened. And in Exodus 33, move from pain to God's glory. In Exodus 33, when he was saying, show me your glory, you know what he was saying? I don't care about the angel. I don't care about the enemy that we're going to face. I don't care about this new land. I don't care about what others think. I don't care about myself or how I look. What he's saying, I'm going to move on from my past brokenness. But how was he going to do that? Show me your glory. What he was saying is, I want more of you, oh God. I want a deeper encounter with you. You are the most important person in my life. You are my identity. Not my past rejection, not my past abuse, not the lost, not the pain, but you are my identity. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. And that, you know, what's interesting, if you read that passage, he has an encounter with the Lord. And with that encounter with the Lord, you know, he just saw the back of God. You know, God passed him, you know, saw the little back of God, you know. And his in the mountain, his face started to glow. His face was glowing. And so when he came down from the mountain, it was so bright, people had to put a veil over his face. People put a veil over his face. And so, it's an illustration of Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. What did Moses mean when he says, show me your glory? Moses, what he was saying is, more than my pain, more of your glory. More than my past brokenness, more of your glory. This person hurt me and rejected me, but God, you heal me. This person abandoned me, but God will never forsake me or leave me. This person made me lose trust, left me empty, but God, you make me whole. I am fatherless, but God calls me his child, and he's my loving father. My mother forgot me. You know what Isaiah 49 says? Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she bore? Though she may forget, God says, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. When you think about glory, there's a passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 18. As we behold the glory of God, when you behold the glory of God, it's not just you go, oh, you know, you go, oh. No, it says you are being transformed. Right? Did you hear that? You are being transformed into the same image. And it says this about God's glory. When you look upon the glory of God, you're being transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory to glory. Right? When Moses says, show me your glory, you know, you see, he understood there's no limit. There's no limit. Say to your neighbor, there's no limit to God's glory. You know, when you look upon the sun, wow, you know, you think about the sun, wow, you know, and you know what, and you might be so amazed at the power of the sun, the brightness of the sun. You know, it's so powerful, amazing, and glorious, you can't go near it or you die. And that's what God says, you know, in our sinful state. When you look upon my glory, you will die. If you saw my glory, you'll die. That's why God had to protect Moses. He put him in a cliff, and he put out his hand so he can't see God passing by and just showed a little bit of his back. That's a little bit of his glory. You know? And so, you think about the sun, right? Wow, that is so glorious. You know what I found out? There's many stars that's bigger than our sun. Did you know that? Many stars. Right now, the biggest star that they found, scientists have found, they said that you could fit, right? You could fit a billion suns. A billion suns. That sun is so big that, think about our solar system where Saturn is. That's how big that sun is. That's how big that sun is. And God is illustrating what through his creation, his glory. Well, then, you know, you go, the sun is so great. Wow, there's another sun that's twice as big. Another star. There's the sun that's, you know, 100 times big. There's another star that's 1,000 times big. There's another star that's 10,000 times bigger. Right? There's no limit. And that's why God was saying, I want more. We are to reflect the glory of God. And it's like the as this moon reflects the light of the sun, we are to reflect God's glory. Glory to glory. Tony Evans used this illustration. You know, he says, think about a picture. You know, you got a lot of pictures in your phone. Think about a picture. It's nice. Pictures are nice. Uh-huh. But you can go further. Then you see it on TV screen. You see the picture in motion. But you know what? You could go further. Then you go to a theater. And, you know, it's more amazing. It's more real. You could go further. Go to IMAX theater. It's a whole different experience. Perspective you never saw before. And you could go further. 3D is coming at you. It seems like you are there. But you could go further, further. Some of you went to Universal Studio. And the seats move. Okay? There's wind machine. And there's a smell. You can even smell things. And you believe that you are there. You are there. Some Christians just want a photograph of God. My challenge to you, you could go further. You want one little more, a TV encounter with God. If you are at a TV encounter with God, want more, desire an IMAX encounter with God. Don't stop there. Go from glory to glory to glory. Another level of healing, another level of freedom, another level of discipleship. You can go deeper. Show me more, oh God. I want to go further with you, God. Show me your glory. And God's people said. And I just want to close with the last passage. Worship team, if you could come up. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. And God's people said.